Welcome to part two of our interview with Vincenzo Ippolito of Ippolito 1845 Wines.
Do you make any kind of a dessert or a late harvest wine of any sort?
Yes, we make two different wines. One is a pure passito. It's a passito wine. Passito means a dried. We call passito all those wines which comes from drying grapes on mats.
Sure.
Then we crush grapes so that we get a juice with a very high content of sugar. And then the fermentation doesn't really end because we cannot really transform all the sugar in alcohol. So that's you get a very sweet wine to be tasted with dessert or with some special cheese like gorgonzola or some. In my case, I would suggest some pecorino. Pecorino is a typical cheese from the south of Italy, and when it's aged for a while, it's very tasty, very persistent, very nice. And then another wine we make from Gallioppo grapes. It's a kind of Amarone, I would say, in the way of we produce it, because we leave the grapes to dry for a while, then. After crushing the grapes, we get a passito wine, but then we mix the skin with a normal wine, and then we blend the two wines together. So part of it is made from a passito wine, and part is a kind of a ripasso technique. We take the skin from passito, and we mix them with just a normal wine. And then we mix the two wines together. Why we made that? Just to get a very complex, rich wine with a big structure, with big body, something very, very nice.
And that wine is called?
It's called 160 anni. 160 anni, it's the Italian name. If I would translate in English, it would be 160 years. And that's a celebrity wine because the project was born in 2005 after 160 years of history of our winery. So the main idea was making something very unique, very special. We used the Gallioppo, which is the history of our winery, of our land, of our history, making it in a different way. Instead of making another Riserva, we decided to take all our knowledge about wine and making a very new product, very different from all the other ones. And 160 years is the result of that.
I kind of got that from the name. I did figure out the number, the figure in there. So now the wine we were just talking about, is that available in the U.S. too? Or
yes.
Okay. Oh,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been exporting to the U.S.?
Well, we started about 50 years ago with the first exportation. Then we stopped for a while because, you know, the story of a business linked to the men. And then in my family business, there were a stop for a while. And now we have been improving our sales for about 10 years. We work with different importers and distributors in different states. We don't really cover all the states, yes, but some of them. And things are going better and better because there is more and more attention to Italian wines, and especially from the south of Italy, because they have still a good price at a very good quality.
And that's the key. From what I did find out online is that your wines are very reasonably priced, which of course always is going to make them more attractive to people.
Yes, it's our goal.
Yeah, and again, for a Riserva to be in that price range, you know, it's a more expensive wine, but not over the top, which is nice.
Yes, it's true.
So is this your first trip to Milwaukee? Now, you said you've been to the U.S. Mm-hmm. before, but...
Yeah, but my first trip in Milwaukee because we started cooperating with the rootstock just last year. So it's my first time I come here.
And again, thanks to Brendan for bringing you up here today to visit with us. I think it's great to be able to have you come to a market like Milwaukee. Will you be doing any kind of – will you be speaking to the public anywhere along the way here? Or I'm not sure if you're – are you doing tastings?
Yeah, already yesterday we had a nice event. It was a charity lunch. So we already – we already offered our wines to many people. And today and tomorrow we are going to go around the city just to promote the wines for new potential customers and even the ones who already buy our wines.
Well, it's not, there's nothing like visibility, especially when we get the we're able to meet somebody from Italy. That just makes it that much more personal.
Yes.
The wine that you brought in today, I took a photograph of the label, but I didn't actually read the label. So tell me about what you...
Yeah. The bottle is called Colli del Mancuso Ciro Riserva. Colli del Mancuso, word by word, Colli means hills. Del Mancuso, from Mancuso. Mancuso is the name of the area. It's a sub-area in my region. And Colli is hills, just because the vineyards are from 200 to 300 meters above the sea level. So... hilly grapes usually are much better for Riserva wines. And it's a Riserva from Gagliopo grapes. So it's it can be considered a single vineyard wine. It means we make this wine always from the same vineyard. So it gives a kind of a guarantee to the final consumer because it's not a blend with the different grapes from different area. And so it's also affected by the climate, by the vintage itself, because we can't really work so much on that because we don't combine the grapes with any other grapes. And it's Gagliopo 100%, which is our own grapes. It's a very nice wine because the color is a ruby red color going to garnet color, so very attractive. And the nose is very complex. It goes from fruity notes to spicy notes like licorice, herbs, even cacao, tobacco. Very nice. And the mouth is very intense and persistent with a very fine tannin. For sure, it's a food-friendly wine. I would suggest to drink it with some nice pairing, like sausage, steak, or seasoned cheese. Something very tasty, just to balance the intensity of the wine.
Sure. And always open your bottle up in advance as much as you possibly can, I would think.
Yeah, it's better. It's better to open it at least 1 hour before, just to make it more open.
Vincenzo, so you have this incredible history, and it is. It's a long time your family's been making wine. You're born into it, but were you literally born into it? Was this something you were doing as a child?
No, it was really something in my blood because when I was a child, I used to play in the winery because the winery, there are big spaces for the trucks, for operations. So I used to play with my friends in the winery. So, I mean, I grew up smelling wine. I grew up looking at wines. Sometimes I even helped the workers to put a bottle on the bottle machine and things like that. Then, unfortunately, I lost my father in the 93. So when I went to university, I already was thinking about going on with the same work. So I didn't study enology because I preferred to study economics and business just to have a broad overview of the business. So after my study, I immediately went back to my winery in my town because I did my study in another city, a little bit far away from my city. And it was always my thought in my mind, in my brain. It was always there to finish my study and to go and work with my family business. Wine business sometimes is a very strong passion. Sometimes we make it more for passion than for money, I can tell you that, because we work many, many hours. There is no Saturday, there is no Sunday, especially when it's harvest time or when we have to go around the world to promote our wines. But the idea of having my last name on the label, sometimes it's much stronger than money on or any other stuff. So, I mean, we do that with this kind of awareness.
Now that puts a lot on your shoulders, doesn't it, because your name's on the label?
Yes, exactly, exactly. So, it's true. You feel more responsible for that because your face is on the label. So it's not like you are under a product, but you are immediately in front of the product. So you do with care, with attention, with commitment, so many things, even because of that.
And behind you, of course, is the rest of the family too. So it's not just you; it's everybody else.
Exactly.
And your father, even though he's not here anymore, I mean, that you're carrying that history with you.
Exactly.
I'm real curious. Then we're talking about harvest, and of course, in Italy, this is harvest as well. So how did you manage to sneak away?
Yeah, because fortunately, we are me, my brother, my aunt. So we split tasks in the winery. So I am more on the market side. My brother instead is more takes care of the technical operation. Then we have an enologist consultant too. So, I mean, we have to do that. Otherwise, there is no one on the market. And instead, right now, to be very successful, you have to travel a lot. You have to go around to visit your customer, to promote your wines. Mm-hmm. Because it's a very competitive market. I mean, you have to bet on yourself a lot. I mean, you can't trust so much in other people, but you have to, it's the same like the label. There is your name, but then if you are the one to present your own product, you'll be more successful.
Nobody's going to represent you better than you.
Exactly, exactly. Especially in our business, I think.
So you diversify between the three of you.
Yes.
But I imagine, like you say, you were talking when you were younger, you spent a fair amount of time working in the winery. You've seen everything that goes
on.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, it's they are not very big business. It's not big firm that you cannot really have your own responsibility and then you don't care for other activities. We are always all combined. I mean, for instance, I also take care of the wines. I mean, before bottling a wine, yeah, I taste it. And then together with my brother, with the enologist, with some journalists or even the final consumers, we decide if the wine is good enough to be bottled, to be sold on the market. I mean, we try to have our own responsibility, but it's impossible. So sometimes we replace our roles with each other's. Talking about the harvest right now, it's over in my area.
Oh, you're done already?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's over because I told you before that it was very hot.
So were you a little early?
Yes. We began in the end of August. We ended about 1 week ago. So still fermentation going on.
Sure, right.
But, I mean, we already finished to pick up the grapes from the vineyards.
Being you're Italian and you grew up in this business, I assume you've been imbibing wine ever since you probably can remember, not that you're drinking vast quantities of it, but Europeans are very open-minded about alcohol consumption and we Americans aren't.
Yeah.
Do you feel that we're a little bit, that's a bit of a hang-up for us because you grew up with it, so it's not a big deal. It's what you're used to. It's your beverage. It's what you choose.
No, I mean, of course, I grew up with a very open mentality on this because when I was a kid, my father always tried to give me a little sip of wine, and then I think it's not even dangerous for a baby. But for sure now, I mean, we have to drink with the responsibility, for sure. But sometimes this kind of policy, which is too strict, I think, scary people. So I think the middle way is always the best. I mean, people should drink with responsibility, should drink first good wine, because, I mean, there are much less problems if you drink good wine. Of course, in the right condition, with the right people, and with responsibility. But if the policy is too strict, it's something bad for everybody, for the wine industry, and even for our own pleasure.
Sure, it's not a taboo. When you're around it all your life, it's not something you sneak off and do. You've been used to it. I think many winemakers or many wine drinkers are like that. It's not something you drink in excess. You drink it to enjoy it for what it is, right?
Yes. Because I grew up with that, I never. It's not a transgression for me,
right.
Because you start drinking a lot when it's kind of a transgression for you. Instead, when you are already used to do that. It for me is like eating pasta or just eating some meat. I do that with full consciousness, full awareness about what I'm doing.
Sure. And I'm sure probably majority of your meals you're having wine with it because that's what you grew up with. That's
exactly.
The beverage you choose.
Exactly.
Yeah. Does the winery have a tasting room? Is it open to the public or is it strictly private?
For sure. It's open. It's open and then... We really appreciate when consumers come to visit us. We have a proper wine shop inside the winery and even a tasting room just to make the people taste all of our wines.
Right. And Vincenzo, if our listeners would like to learn a little bit more about you and Ippolito 1845, how would they find out about that?
It's easy, just www.ippolito1845. So Ippolito1845.it.
Couldn't be any simpler. Vincenzo, this has been a total pleasure talking to you. You're a charming guy to talk to, and just the fact that you've grown up in this industry, that makes me envious of you. So thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Special thanks to Rootstock Wine Company for setting up this interview. Learn more about Vincenzo at Ippolito1845.it.
Thanks for listening to this program. Watch for our next podcast featuring Elwin Fitzgerald, owner of Fisher King Winery in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Cheers.
Life Between the Vines was produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Original music by Tim Turton. Our intern is Ray Spears. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Tim Panicucci. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2012.